Lehman Brothers, one of the most successful, dynamic, and largest trading houses and investment firms in the United States. Created in about the 1850s, DOA, in September of 2008. What happened? Fraud or simple incompetence? Good afternoon, evening, wherever you're at. Morning, I guess, in some places. I'd like to welcome everybody to my White Collar Crime and Fraud podcast. As always, I'm your host, Gene Tausk. Hope everybody's having a good summer. And for this episode, we're going to talk about the collapse of Lehman Brothers. And this isn't really, I titled this podcast Fraud or Incompetence. And it's not really so much of a fraud, so much as a cautionary warning, but it's worth investigating, or at least looking into the collapse of Lehman Brothers and how, I mean, it certainly affected the United States and, for that matter, the rest of the world in terms of the shockwaves that followed. But it's looking back on this now, going back almost 14 years in this when when Lehman Brothers collapsed. It's hard to sometimes really rate just how significant this was, and it's somewhat easy sometimes to say, well, this is the product of fraud, or somebody was getting rich at somebody else's expense, or whatever. I think looking back on it in historical terms, we can see now this was a lot of incompetence, and of course, luck always plays a role. But although obviously this is a fraud and white collar crime podcast, I do believe it's worth investigating a little bit and talking about it, because sometimes in the way things work, we can look at a collapse of an institution like Lehman Brothers and, of course, try and learn something. But also, there's two lessons that I've taken away, of course, is that, first of all, nothing ever lasts forever, and Lehman Brothers is a perfect example of that, number one. And number two, even with the, quote, smartest people in the world at work, or as Enron would say, the smartest guys in the room, bad things can happen. And Lehman Brothers, their collapse, I think, is more of a sign of just how hubris, not only hubris, but just really bad planning can cause unexpected effects, although they should have been foreseen in many ways. So Lehman Brothers, when we're talking about Lehman Brothers, what is Lehman Brothers was one of the largest bankruptcies in American history. And Lehman Brothers was a investment firm in which it lasted for a very long time. It had been around for centuries, really, but it started off in the 1850s as basically a trading house of all things. Eventually, Lehman Brothers grew, and it became an investment banking firm, trading firm. It merged with American Express, and eventually divested itself. And prior to its collapse in 2008, the firm had $639 billion in assets. So it was a huge, huge investment banking firm, investment firm, what have you. And it certainly, when I was growing up, people, any kind of investment banker, anybody in finance, wanted to work for Lehman Brothers. It was one of the top investment places in the world. And its collapse is like, I mean, it's easy to compare it to Enron, and as listeners of this podcast know, Enron for me is the, if you want to use the term, gold standard, but the gold standard when it comes to white collar crime and fraud. But as I said, we're not really talking about that here with Lehman Brothers. But as the firm grew, thousands of people were employed by Lehman Brothers, and Lehman Brothers survived, obviously a institution that was around since the 1850s, survived many, many hardships, including the Depression of 1870, the Great Depression of the 1930s, World War I, World War II, the September 11th, 2001 attacks. Really, it's an institution that weathered a great deal of problems that had caused many of its rivals to go by the wayside. But it could not survive what became known as a subprime mortgage crisis. So let's talk about that, because one of the reasons I believe it's important to talk about how Lehman Brothers fell is to look at the idea of the subprime mortgage crisis and mortgage-backed securities, which ultimately led to Lehman Brothers' collapse, as well as, well, in many cases, almost damn near destroying the American banking system. So one of the reasons, if not the reason, that Lehman Brothers fell apart was its investments in mortgage-backed securities. And let's talk about that. To talk about mortgage-backed securities, we have to talk about the subprime mortgage crisis. And that was a financial crisis that occurred between 2007 and 2010. And this was triggered here in the United States by a collapse in U.S. home prices, excuse me, after the collapse of a housing bubble. Now, during the 2000s until about 2008, buying a home in the United States was almost a gimmick. It was so easy. Normally, historically, buying a home in the United States involved many different checks and balances along the way to get a home. Most people can't buy a home outright, and most people certainly cannot afford to pay even half the money down for a home. Until mortgage lending got off the ground in the 1900s. And really got into gear after World War II, most people had to put down at least 50% for a home, which of course was out of reach for many Americans. So a mortgage is where it's a long-term payoff to a house or real property that normally takes anywhere from 15 to 30 years. Normally, with a mortgage, a person has to put 20% of the cost down. So let's say that a home cost $100,000, obviously, the person or people buying the house or property would have to put down $20,000. Now, there are systems by which a person can buy mortgage insurance and put something like 5% down, and this allows them to buy a home at an even smaller rate and or smaller investment. So this kind of check and balance system existed for at least 50, 60 years in America. And it made the quote American dream unquote is to own your own home. At least that's part of the American dream. And the use of long-term mortgages allowed this quote American dream unquote to occur. If you only have to put 5% down, once again, if let's say a house is $100,000, you only have to put 5% down, $5,000, and buy mortgage insurance until you can cover 20%. Well, that opens the housing market to a lot of individuals. Well, beginning in the 2000s and what happened between 2000 and 2008, we had somewhat of a mortgage crisis here in the United States, or crisis is the wrong word. We had it became a lot easier to purchase real estate, purchase housing in the United States, and there's many reasons for it. One of the most basic reasons was that people were allowed to put very little money down, and they expected the property to rise very quickly in value. The American housing market was really taking off in the early 2000s. And so the idea was if you put very little money down, the housing price would rise, you could sell it and just really take the money. So this is a short-term investment. A lot of this was predatory lending as well, where people would be offered really good mortgages for 30 years, or for the first 5 years, all they had to do was pay, say, the interest. So if the interest was only $500 a month, all you were doing was paying the interest, but you weren't paying any of the actual value of the house. You weren't paying any of the property value itself. You're just paying on the interest. And so a lot of people took out these loans, and what was happening was that sometimes these people would unfortunately be duped by these what became known as predatory lending tactics. So a person would be led to believe, okay, over 30 years, you'll be paying off this house. The first 5 years, all you have to do is pay $500 a month. And then after 5 years, the house will have increased in value so much anyway, you could sell it if you want. Or if you don't want to sell it at that point, another interest rate will kick in. And this is when you actually start paying off the premium on the property. This is where you actually start paying off the value of the property itself. And unfortunately, many people bought into this. So they were led to believe that they could just pay off first 5 years or 4 years or whatever at this very low rate, $500, $300, $200 a month, what have you. And then when the actual real interest rate plus the premium kicked in, then they would have to face the actual costs of this. And unfortunately, many people didn't understand this. So what happened was that, say, somebody would buy a house in 2002 with this initial very low fixed rate set in. And so they would be used to paying off this very low fixed rate. And then suddenly after 5 years, the actual rate would kick in and many people couldn't afford this. So they just backed out of the mortgages. And this, of course, when you have a lot of people who are backing away from the mortgages, backing away from their house and can no longer pay on it, this causes, unfortunately, a collapse in the housing market, which is, of course, what happened. So you had this combination of this one factor, I'm sorry, this not combination, but this one factor of these insanely low initial rates combined with predatory lenders who would sell property to people who really could not afford them. And people would let the buyers, unfortunately, would be led to believe that this low interest rate they were paying initially would be the interest rate that, without looking at the contract or having the contract explained to them, did not realize that the real interest rate would kick in after 3, 4, or 5 years, and then they would be stuck with the actual cost of the property, which they could not afford. And this led to a lot of people backing out of their mortgages, 2006, 2007, through 2008. And of course, this the economic effects can be seen. This caused an actual collapse of the housing industry. Many people are walking away from the mortgages. So right away, you have this issue where a lot of people beginning in 2007, 2008 are backing out of their mortgages. They simply cannot afford them. Well, that's one factor. Another factor which is coming into play at this point in time was mortgage-backed securities. Well, what is a mortgage-backed security? This is sort of at the time, it was a relatively new investment tool. And a mortgage-backed security is an asset-backed security, which is secured by a mortgage or a collection of mortgages. So in the, quote, olden times, unquote, when people would take out mortgages for property, many times they would go to their local bank and get a mortgage. And this is a very direct relationship the bank would have with its customers, where they knew where the money was going. The bank knew where the property was located. They knew what kind of house the person was buying. And so there was a very direct relationship between the lender and the person buying the property. And this, of course, created a situation where a bank usually would not lend money to a person or people they felt were a risk. And because they had a direct relationship with the community, the bank could very easily explore the worth or the risks of mortgage lending and make the decision based on a lot of factors they could easily ascertain. Well, mortgage-backed security sort of takes away that concept. A mortgage-backed security is where, say, a bank will have 1,000 mortgages. It owns 1,000 mortgages that are being paid off. You know, they have 1,000 people or 1,000 families paying off their mortgage. And a mortgage-backed security will create this into a type of investment idea where you can, instead of buying a stock or a bond or what have you, the person is buying a group of mortgages called a mortgage-backed security. And the idea being is that, well, now you have a very safe investment. Why? Because this mortgage bond that you're buying, this bond that's backed by a pool of mortgages, this mortgage bond that you're buying is very safe. Why? Because you have people that have a very big incentive to pay off their property. If you buy a mortgage bond, let's say 1,000 mortgages, and every month you have 1,000 people or 1,000 families that are paying money, including interest, the interest, of course, on the mortgage itself. Well, it should be a secure investment, shouldn't it? Because most people want to pay off their homes. Most people want to actually own their home. And so it's a long-term investment. You may be buying a mortgage-backed security for a good 20 years. It'll take 20 years for these mortgages to mature, but it's a good investment because you have the people actually that are paying off their mortgages have an incentive to do so. So in theory, it's a good idea. So mortgage-backed securities, mortgage bonds, were becoming very popular during the 2000s, 2002, 3, 4, 5, etc., becoming very popular as well. And the one of the main issues with a mortgage-backed security is that the total face value of a mortgage-backed security decreases over time. Because mortgages, don't forget, when you're paying money on a mortgage over 30 years, most of the money you're paying initially is for the interest. But then as time goes on, you're paying more on the principal. So if at the beginning of a 30-year mortgage, let's say you're paying $1,000 a month, maybe $900 of that is going towards the interest, while only $100 is going towards the principal. So, of course, if you hold a mortgage, initially you're making a lot of money. But as time goes on, over 10 years, say, then you're perhaps $250 is going towards the principal and $750 is going towards the interest. Once again, it's a still a good deal for the person who made the loan, but you can see where the value is decreasing over time. And of course, by say 25 years into it, then perhaps then the person is only receiving $200 a month for the interest and the rest of the $800 out of the $1,000 is going into the principal. So over time, the mortgage tends to lose some of its assets. So, or I should say more, some of its investment potential. So mortgage-backed securities can be a good investment, but once again, it has its risks. Now, Lehman Brothers was investing very heavily into these mortgage-backed securities. They thought it was a good investment, and perhaps at one time it was. But one of the things Lehman was doing was buying up many of these mortgage-backed securities, and now you have two factors coming into play in the 2000s, which is beginning to create this bubble, this risk for people owning mortgage-backed securities. First of all, we were talking about the roots of the subprime lending crisis, where many, many, many people were purchasing homes in the early 2000s. But many of these people were purchasing homes with predatory lending, where the first, as I said, 2, 3, 4 years, they were just paying money on the interest only and not the principal. So if the you're getting $500 a month with just pure interest, well, that's a great investment. But then once again, after 3 or 4 or 5 years, it kicks in where you have to pay on the principal as well. And now suddenly many people couldn't afford this. So many of these mortgage bonds, these mortgage-backed securities were sold. And unfortunately, a great deal of research was not done into determining just how many of these mortgage-backed securities were the root of these mortgage-backed securities were in these loans that were made to individuals who could not afford the homes. And so at some point, these individuals would back out of the mortgages. And then, of course, they would become worthless because they weren't getting any money, period. So if you have 1,000 mortgages tied up in a mortgage-backed security, and let's say 800 of these mortgages are with individuals who will eventually back out and falter on their loans, on their mortgages, well, then out of that 1,000 mortgages, that's 80% suddenly become worthless in a mortgage-backed security. And of course, you can see where the problem is. Now, another problem that Lehman Brothers was doing besides investing a great deal into mortgage-backed securities was that they were borrowing significant amounts to fund its investing into these mortgage-backed securities. And of course, when you're borrowing so you can buy more of these mortgage-backed securities or other high-risk securities, eventually the money you borrow will have to be repaid as well. So now you've got another problem on top of that. So Lehman is facing these issues where they're investing in an investment product, in this case, the mortgage-backed security. And the mortgage-backed securities themselves have issues which are not being investigated, or if they are being investigated, the real problem is not being understood. They're borrowing money so they can invest in more mortgage-backed securities. So at some point, you're really going to have good money chasing after bad money. And another issue with mortgage-backed securities is that they're not subject to a lot of the regulations that other securities had to follow. So the issue now you have is that whereas accounting principles would show that risks would have to be evaluated on certain investments, and on certain investment products, now for mortgage-backed securities, you don't have that. So you have this, you might say, perfect storm of exposure coming up for Lehman Brothers, which is unexpected, is perhaps too strong a word. I would use the term that it wasn't fully developed, it wasn't fully investigated. But a lot of risk-taking is going on with Lehman Brothers during this time, beginning 2007 towards 2008, which is really causing, which will cause eventually serious problems for Lehman as itself. Another thing to remember is with these mortgage-backed securities, and keep in mind, we have to go back to one of the roots of the problem, not the only root, but certainly one of the more significant roots, and by root, I mean R-O-O-T-S, the source of the problem, is that as these mortgage-backed securities decline in value, the full realization of the decline in value will not actually be known. So if Lehman is borrowing a lot of money to invest in mortgage-backed securities and other risky securities, which aren't part of this podcast, and these securities are now beginning to decline, the full value of the decline will not actually be known. So for example, let's use mortgage-backed securities as our subject matter. With mortgage-backed securities, let's say out of the, once again, saying you have a mortgage-backed security with 1,000 mortgages in it, beginning say in 2006, 2007, you have 500, 600 people suddenly stopping payments, and suddenly this mortgage-backed security is becoming worthless or much less in value because the interest payments are no longer coming in. Well, it takes some time for this to be realized by the holder of the mortgage-backed security. Don't forget, the idea behind a mortgage, at least in theory anyway, is that your local bank is lending money to an individual or to a family to buy to purchase a home, a long-term purchase. The local bank is in a position to know when the family or when the individual has problems making their mortgage payment. And as a result, they can take steps to adjust very quickly. If the family misses a mortgage payment, then an officer of the bank can review the situation and decide whether it's better to cut the loss or better to work with the family to see if it can be refinanced, what have you. Because you have a very direct one-on-one relationship between the local bank and the person or family taking out the mortgage. Well, with a mortgage-backed security, you don't have that direct line of communication. You don't even have anything suddenly. What you have is over a period of time, part of this mortgage-backed security is no longer making the payments, so there's a loss of income coming in. Then there's questions being asked as to why you have this loss of income. And then investigations have to be done. And by the time an investigation is completed, several months may have gone by, and suddenly the holder realizes that the mortgage-backed security he may have purchased, say, for $10 million, no longer can make $10 million. It doesn't have the money coming in any way to back up the security. And this causes further problems because now what do you do when you're holding on to an asset like a mortgage-backed security, which is decreasing in value? Does anybody want to buy a mortgage-backed security like that? And that's part of the problem right there as well. Many companies tried to sell their mortgage-backed securities for fire sale prices, and sometimes they couldn't even do that. So now you have this perfect storm where Lehman Brothers has a great deal of borrowing, leveraging against it. It's invested in a lot of mortgage-backed securities, which are now becoming worthless because of the subprime lending crisis. And suddenly, it finds that it's not making any money anymore. Suddenly, it's starting to lose money. And now Lehman has real problems because, once again, it has these mortgage-backed securities, which are no longer bringing in the money. They're no longer as worthwhile as they were. It's leveraged heavily into borrowing, which means it cannot repay the money it's borrowed. And now this is creating a perfect storm where Lehman simply cannot make the money make the money to continue. And unfortunately, this created a situation where Lehman really had to look at bankruptcy. Now, beginning in 2008, and this is beginning in towards the middle of the year, Lehman faced these losses because of the subprime mortgage crisis and because of the leverage against it, money it had borrowed, and it can no longer make payments on this. And in the second fiscal quarter of 2008, Lehman Brothers reported losses of $2.8 billion, and they tried to raise capital by offering $6 billion of additional new shares. But Lehman stock started to collapse. And by August of 2008, Lehman reported that it needed intended to lay off about 1,500 people, about 6% of its workforce. Unfortunately, the problems for Lehman only continued after this. There was an idea that perhaps the Korea Development Bank would buy Lehman, but the Korea Development Bank backed out. And by September 9th, Lehman Brothers shares had plunged to about $7.80. And by this point, there was a death spiral with Lehman, that investor confidence continued to erode. No money was coming in. And this, unfortunately, Lehman Brothers was, as I said, a huge investment firm, huge. And as such, as Lehman Brothers started to collapse, this affected the rest of the U.S. economy. Dow Jones Industrial, for example, lost nearly 300 points on or about September 9th of 2008 as Lehman Brothers continued to crumble. Lehman Brothers did try to get the federal government involved, and major Wall Street firms, beginning in September, on September 12th, were examining buying Lehman Brothers, but unfortunately that did not work out. And by September 14th of 2008, it was clear that Lehman Brothers was headed out. And Lehman Brothers eventually declared bankruptcy on September 15th, 2008. And the filing itself was the largest bankruptcy filing in U.S. history, with Lehman holding $600 billion in assets. So how is it that Lehman Brothers collapsed so suddenly? Well, suddenly is perhaps the wrong word. I mean, Lehman Brothers did exist for over 100 years, and that's a good long run by any standards. As we've found out here, Lehman Brothers, by relying is perhaps too strong a word, but certainly looking too strongly at mortgage-backed securities, it created troubles for its foundation of its economic system. And as a result, when the mortgage bubble occurred, when the mortgage bubble started to burst, that's when Lehman really faced the difficulties that led to eventually its bankruptcy. I find it interesting that as more investment products become available and on the market, and going back to my discussion on AI, that's only going to increase as more products come on the market. Sometimes it's really easy to overlook just the foundations of these new investment products. They may be based on something sound. For example, once again, with mortgages, the idea of a mortgage is a sound financial concept. Many people do continue to pay off their mortgages. The banks that make mortgage lending have it's a very safe investment for them. But once again, the idea of a mortgage is based on the idea that you have a direct one-on-one relationship with the person lending you the money. If in the end, the person who or organization that is lending you the money is thousands of miles away, and your mortgage eventually just becomes part of a larger investment portfolio, it's really hard to gauge both as the investor and as the buyer or the purchaser, the person buying off the home, as to the actual value of the mortgage itself, the actual value of the property. With the banker, the local banker who's lived in the community, they can evaluate if the property is worthwhile or not, and they can evaluate the economic prospects. That's a very one-on-one relationship. If your mortgage simply happens to be one of a thousand that's bundled together in the same security package, it's being sold off, well, suddenly it's a lot harder to gauge that value. And when you have a tidal wave effect, such as the mortgage crisis, which steps in, then of course all bets are off. So to answer my question, was the collapse of Lehman Brothers fraud or was it incompetence? I'd have to chalk it up to incompetence and a great deal of bad luck. I don't think when you look at all this, it's very hard to say that it wasn't anything like an Enron or anything of that nature. And there are questions of, was there accounting manipulation going on at this time? And of course, there may be a subject for another podcast, but it's not the kind of fraud we saw with Enron, not by any stretch of the imagination. I guess once again, with Lehman Brothers, we just have to call this a tale of caution. And it's hard sometimes to evaluate the real value of an investment especially when the investment itself is spread out over so many dimensions, like a mortgage-backed security. Anyway, as I said, I find the whole story of Lehman Brothers incredibly fascinating, not because of white-collar crime or fraud idea, but because, like I said, a great deal of overconfidence and incompetence, and of course, run of bad luck. Hope everybody enjoyed this podcast, and I will see you in a couple weeks. Bye-bye. Thank you.